May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Has anyone here ever said a prayer? Anybody? That's good to know. It could be as short as help, please, thank you, or longer versions. Have any of you in your life ever had questions about prayer? Anybody here ever had questions about prayer? Thank you. Does it work? Where are you, God? Why have you not answered? Is it worth it? I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Building on God's Love, a Life of Prayer. And I want to thank you for being here today, especially on these wonderful summer days. Now, today you will hear two different people's thoughts on prayer, and also learn what I think is the most important thing in prayer is not the request, but rather the ongoing relationship with God that is built through prayer. Now, can I share with you some of my ups and downs of prayer? Thank you. My prayer life has literally been all over the map. Sometimes I do it regularly, other times I wander away. I will never forget one book I read on my first summer internship in the Maritimes. It's a very thin little book. I like thin little books. Anybody else here like thin little books? It was entitled Prayer for Beginners and Those Who Have Forgotten How. And in it, it went through a variety of different forms or ways of prayer. And the book introduced me to journaling, which I started and used for many years as my prayer time and appreciated it greatly. Now, most recently, I don't know if you remembered, but as a church, we did the book Bullseye, Aiming to Follow Jesus, One Lent. And I love the little acronym that it introduced me to called SOAP. Scripture. Read a passage of scripture. Observation, what grabs you out of that passage, or what does it say? Application, how is that passage relevant in my life or in the world? And then prayer, have a short prayer afterwards. And I again used a journal to keep track of those things. And I'm working my way through the book of Luke at the moment. And if you ever tried reading the Bible, I suggest trying different translations. I've really liked reading the Message. Its turn of phrases gives fresh insight to the passages. There's another little shorthand I've used once. Anybody hear of the Lord's Prayer? Heard of the, awesome. Use the Lord's Prayer as your guide. Start by thinking about the mystery, wonder, and awe of God. Could be a reflection on the mountains or a starry night. Our Father who art in heaven. Then pray for the brokenness in the world that you've read about in a newspaper or is bugging you. Thy kingdom come. Next, pray for your own needs and the needs of others. Daily bread. Forgiveness of sins. Forgive others. And then finally, ask God to be with you through your day. Lead us not into temptation. So those are simply little guides that people have suggested in various books that you might find helpful. I know I've used them. So what I want you to do with your talk time today, I just thought of it, TED Talk. You get your own TED Talk, is talk about some of your experiments with prayer, or even what is prayer for you? Is it something you do throughout the day, or is it something you just save for emergencies? Find a neighbor to talk to about prayer, what you think of it, introduce yourself first, and if you prefer, you can just quietly think about your own thoughts about prayer and what part it plays in your life. Go. It's a little hard one today, but you can handle it. please stop? Thank you. It's an incredibly interesting topic, and it's one that I encourage you all to dive into a little, and you can continue your conversations out on lemonade on the lawn. Now, I'm going to again reflect my age today a little bit when I tell you about the name of a band. Have you ever heard of Pink Floyd? There you go. So that's dating myself just a little. So I believe that it's Pink Floyd that has a song that starts with the words, "Is there anybody out there?" You know, is there anybody out there? Great phrase when you think of vacation Bible camp and we're going to be in outer space this week. You may not know it, but Appleby United Church is going to turn into a spaceship Monday to Friday. Is there anybody out there? It's a question for philosophers and maybe astronauts who are out there. What is your answer to that question? Yes. Thank you. I would hope as Christians, most of us would respond to yes. Is anybody out there? And that anybody is God. I know for me, I get a sense of that God in the beauty of creation, the starry nights, the mountains that I saw on my holidays, and you may hear a bit about them this fall. I love the mountains. Maybe it is through the love and care you felt through family and friends or helping others. Are there any other ways that I've missed that you have felt or had a sense of God's presence? Narrowly avoiding an accident. There you go. Anything else? The birth of a child. Absolutely. When I do the baptism preparation classes, many people say that. The birth of a child. A holy moment. Holding that life. Absolutely. For me, prayer is also one of those times. Doing meditation, deep breaths, be still and know that I am God. But then there's been times in my life, and I'm sure in yours, if you wonder if God is present in the world or if there is a God. The death of a close friend, especially if they're young. People getting sick, the effects of climate change, hurricanes. Another round of shootings in the United States, to name a few of the ways that the chaos is still present in our world. And I'm sure you have many of your own examples. I take great comfort, though, in the opening lines in Genesis, where the Spirit of God moves over the face of the waters. Some translate it the raging ocean. And in the ancient world, you need to know oceans, raging water, was a symbol of chaos. So God moves over the chaos to create order in the world. Now for me, that creation story of making order out of the chaos didn't just happen once when the mountains were lifted up or trees began to grow, amphibians crawled out of the water onto land, but it's a continual process. God is continually at work in the world to create order out of the chaos. Now maybe a different kind of chaos, social, political chaos, and we are invited to join in. George Buttrick wrote, "If God is not, and the life of man poor, solitary, brutish, short, prayer is the worst kind of self-deceit if there is no God. If God is yet known only as a vague rumor, prayer is a whimpering folly. But if God is in some deep, eternal sense like Jesus, friendship with God is our first concern, worthiest art, best resource, sublimest joy. And I think it's out of that statement that we, like the disciples, say, Lord, teach us to pray. Human doubt concerning prayer may honestly be a matter of intellectual debate, but more often doubt comes out of despair. Broken dreams, unanswered prayers. Jesus begins his introduction on prayer by acknowledging the silence with which all who pray have met at some time. Suppose a man goes to a friend's house at midnight. Is anybody here up at midnight? A few? Way to go. I try not to be. What are others of you doing at midnight? Looking at tennis. Let's try sleeping. I'm trying really hard to be on the sleeping. So if you go to a friend's house and start knocking at midnight and they're sleeping, what does Jesus ask the man to keep on doing? Thank you. Keep on knocking. Keep on calling. Keep on asking. Keep on searching. Do not give up. As the Nike commercial says, just do it. In reference to prayer. Now, at the end of this passage, I don't know, do you remember what Jesus promised to give his children if you asked for it? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't good health. It wasn't a whole list of other things. The Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit easy to define? No. Thank you. John's Gospel says it's like the wind and it blows where it wills. You can see the wind, the rustling of the leaves. I mean, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind itself. Now, some people speak of experiencing a sense of peace through prayer, like meditation, slowing down your breathing, getting connected to the ground of our being. It is one way, at least for me, of stepping back from the chaos to see the bigger picture so that new patterns and outcomes might emerge, to remind myself I am deeply loved by God. Cameron Trimble, the theme speaker at conference this year, says this about prayer in her book, Piloting Church. She says, believe me, I'm not all that pious. Means I suspect she doesn't, you know, she struggles with prayer. However, significant scientific research has proven that meditation and prayer shifts your consciousness from a state of rapid pattern association and fight-flight energy to one of rest, relaxation, and playfulness. When your mind shifts its energy to a space of calm creativity, you experience an opening in yourself that becomes essential to allow breakthrough thinking. You ever been caught in a crisis and you can't think of a way out? All you see are the problems. And what is often needed is to step back, calm self down, deep breaths. Sometimes I'm amazed at different ideas that appear. Research has also shown that people who are prayed for tend to recover from major operations quicker than those who aren't. Mystery, wonder, and awe. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you explain it? No. But there's more to the world than meets the eye. Is there anybody out there? Yes. Jesus, when he says that we who are bad, incomplete, imperfect, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven? Does that mean we always get what we ask for? No, thank you. Does it mean you shouldn't ask? No. Does it mean we are left to beg for mercy with no assurance that the one to whom we beg has the least bit of sympathy for our plight? No. Exactly. Do you remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Absolutely, thank you. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Was it? No. Do you remember Jesus' words from the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Thank you. Other words? Absolutely. My God, why have you forsaken me? Or my God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus knows what it's like to go to a friend's house at midnight on his knees begging, and no one seems to be home. Had God abandoned Jesus? No. Exactly. Jesus was caught in the chaos of the world between politics, in the church, and in the state. Have you ever poured out your heart to a trusted friend? Was it worth it at the end? Was it helpful? Yeah, I know I have found some deep conversations with a trusted friend is helpful. Have you ever asked why in your life? I think you're not breathing if you haven't, okay? I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Jesus is trying to teach us that he can be that trusted friend to have a conversation with when all else fails. Each instruction Jesus gives the disciples invites them into a relationship. And a relationship involves conversation, and the conversation begins with the word, please, help, thank you. And we need to remember that God has first spoken the one word. And you know that word if you read the first, 10 verses of the opening chapter of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus. God has first spoken the Word to us in Jesus, and now we only need to muster the good sense to speak back. Heartfelt prayer is the beginning of a conversation that will sustain you throughout your life. How else but in conversation with Jesus through the words of Scripture and the witness of the church could we trust that God is the God who will come after us when we are lost, dine with us when all others cast us out, and welcome us home after we've wasted our lives? Remember the parable of the lost son? And this passage from Hosea, in my opinion, answers that question of how God will treat us both now and in the hereafter. Chapter 11 begins with Hosea describing God's relationship to his people. He used a very poignant image of a parent caring for a child. Someone mentioned the birth of a child, sense of God's presence. I was the one who taught Israel to walk. Remember those first days, cooing, cuddling, being in a rocking chair. But the more I called you, the more you turned away from me. Can you think of the tumultuous teenage years? When how much did your parents know? Squat? I remember that. But in the end, God says, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in anger, for I am God and not a human being. I, the Holy One, am with you, and I will not come to you in anger. Wow. Doesn't that present a different image of God than ones that many of us grew up with? Who's God? You know that guy up there? The long finger pointing down? I will not come to you in anger. Wow. Powerful, powerful words. And I suggest, when you talk about meditating on Scripture, go home, read over that passage slowly a few times, and then substitute your name for the name of Israel in that passage. Then read it over again, and then substitute humanity wherever Israel is written. In Jesus, God is just reaffirming what Hosea wrote about God many, many years before. If everyone's prayer was answered, and who knows how they are answered, there would be no more pain, no more sickness, no more war, no more death. Yet these realities are still with us. What is more important than the request we make in prayer is the relationship we build with God through prayer that will see us through thick and thin. Do you think God's heart wasn't broke when Jesus was on the cross? Absolutely. God's only Son. Times when God appears silent and prayers go unanswered, remember God is with you. God is with us. God has not abandoned us, but promises us the gift of the Spirit that helps us to pray, weak as we are, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, with groans that words cannot express. And the God who sees into our heart knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people in accordance with God's will. And that same Spirit assures us at the end of Romans chapter 8 that nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, or powers. And in Paul's day, the powers were Rome, Assyria, you know, the world powers. Nothing in the present nor things to come will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in the living word of Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather. Thanks be to God. Amen.